done these. How can I explain it? Awards you and I created. I'm happy that you all made it. You never have to work so hard and feel like no one notices. You're just a name and number. No one ever says hello.
The Dundee for most likely to be good at basketball goes to Micah Sargent. Come up and get your Dundee, Micah. Aren't you so excited? Isn't this the best award for you?
I just tripped over my own foot, but I would like to thank God because God gave me this Dundee. And I would also like to thank the color of my skin because clearly that played a role in the awarding of this Dundee. And I feel God in this Skype call tonight. And the Dundee for best party planner goes to the head of the party planning committee, Tiffany Arment.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Really?
Me? Yes.
Oh, I actually really like this award. I'm totally down with that. That makes me really happy.
I hope you're okay with the bowling trophy.
Oh, all right. I mean, I guess that's fine. If you haven't guessed, this week on The Office, it's the Dundies. It's everyone's favorite day, according to Michael, and everyone looks forward to it, again, according to Michael, but really, no one's looking forward to it. Everyone's dreading it. And if you are a first-time watcher of The Office, you've noticed that throughout our pod, or you've been listening to our podcast, and you're watching through The Office for the first time, you might notice that we keep giving out these awards at the end called Dundies. And this is the canonical episode all about the Dundies. And here we see the 8th annual Dundee Awards in the show and what it all actually means.
Jenna Fisher was asked, what episode should I show my family to get them interested in The Office? I've been trying to get them into The Office for so long. And Jenna Fisher, who plays Pam, said that you should absolutely play them the Dundies episode. This is an award-winning episode. It is absolutely hilarious. And I think that it starts season two off with it is the perfect opener for this entire season.
It really starts cementing the show as holding its own. I think a lot of times in the first season, we see a lot of repetition from the British Office, a lot of jokes stolen here and there. And now I feel like we've cemented the characters and we're really getting in deeper with who everybody is, what this office means, and this weird, quirky thing that's going on. And we are like cemented in the Dundies. And you're right. It's just a wonderful, fantastic opening. And what I really like about the Dundies is that Michael is so into it. Michael, this is Michael's day to shine. He really takes it super serious. It is a performance for him. It's a comedy show for him. It's a chance to recognize and appreciate the employees. And I see that positivity in him, but at the same time, it's a chance for him to try and be the funny MC, which he keeps wanting to be in the office, but actually with a microphone this time.
Yeah. And he takes it so seriously that he goes as far as to suggest that the Dundies literally saves people's lives.
Yes, I love that.
It's so awkward, but he's talking about how the neighbor, you know, he's
pitching a scenario.
Exactly. There you go. He's putting out a scenario in which the neighbor of one of his employees ends up committing suicide because they don't have any recognition at work and feel like they, you know, they're not awarded for the good things that they do. And
So Michael's Dundies basically he's preventing suicide.
Yes.
He's doing the good work out there.
Which is his, that's his whole, going back to the healthcare episode really quickly, you remember him talking about how he's basically, he sees himself as his employee's doctor because of the fact that he's handing out their, their insurance. He really does think that it's his job to take care of his employees through and through and feels like he's a bit of a superhero to them, which is not how any of them see him at all.
I also love that if we want to bring up the healthcare episode again, Michael actually does workshop a joke about Dunder Mifflin's terrible healthcare, which I find really funny in this episode. They bring it up again and it's like, you're making a joke about this terrible healthcare that you had a part in creating, essentially, which is so good.
We start the show with the introduction of the Dundies and sort of go around, and it immediately shows you how everyone feels about the Dundies, which is not great. Jim jokes, but Michael doesn't pick up on it, that he's, you know, he has his Dundies tucked away. Dwight, of course, has them on display, and Stanley says that he threw his out. And poor Michael is just taken aback by the fact that Stanley threw them out.
Yeah, Michael goes around the office putting everybody on the spot, asking where their awards are, because he's so proud of it. He's showing it off to the cameras at this point. And it really goes to show that, you know, the employees are not seeing this as the amazing recognition award show, like culmination of all their hard work that Michael sees it as going to be. They are all just dreading it. Pam describes it as a car wreck that you can't look away from, or that at least your boss is forcing you to stare at, even though you want to look away. Like, it's, nobody is super excited about the night of the Dundies. So as things are going around, we do find out that through a call to Jan, as Michael invites her to the Dundee Awards, we find out that corporate does not have money in the party fund to fund this event. And Michael pretty much makes a reference that it's synonymous with dropping an atomic bomb on him.
You're dropping an A-bomb on me here.
It's so devastating to him that there's no budget for it. But he finds a way around it, you know, eventually.
Oh,
he,
God.
Later on in the episode, he tells everyone to distract them that, oh, bring your friends and family for the very first time. And they do. And then he's like, oh, by the way, you all have to pay for your own food and drink. But, you know, that's okay. It didn't stop Michael. He still has his show all ready to go and everything, but we need to talk about what happens in the office right before we head on over to the Dundies.
We have to talk about another aspect of Pam and Roy's relationship.
Oh, yes.
Basically, because Pam is the receptionist, Michael decides that it is well within his bounds to task Pam with watching the pre-recorded, like watching the tapes of previous Dundies and finding highlights, which again, we remember how the whole company is tanking and Michael is having people do this instead of actually working. Mm-hmm. So she's being forced to sort of watch the Dundies back, and we get this moment where Michael once again decides that he's going to hand out an award for longest engagement, and that goes to Pam and Roy, because it turns out that they have been engaged for a very long time, but for some reason they have yet to get married. And you see Pam's face, you know, get very sad as she's watching her face get very sad on the screen as they're handing out that award, and Roy is joking and laughing about it.
Oh yeah, Roy just jumps right up to accept, and what his response is like, we'll see you next year. Like, as in, I'm not even planning on setting a date or doing anything about this. It's just, he thinks it's hilarious. Pam is just tired of it because she hears the same joke over and over and over again.
Yes. And Jim sees this, and so he decides to go in. And mind you, as Tiff noted, this is after Jan drops the A-bomb. Jim goes in and tells Michael that he should not hand out that world's longest engagement award. And he says that it sort of gives the impression that he's they're being lazy with the jokes, and it's not, you know, new stuff.
Which is great, because that's, Jim is playing into Michael's ego perfectly.
Yes.
He manipulates him into making the decision himself by saying like, oh, it's going to be a tired joke. Everyone's going to expect it. And then, you know, Michael retorts back with, well, isn't that, that's what's funny about it, is that everyone expects it. And there it is. And Jim's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. And so Michael starts trying to think of different ways to be funny about it, because I think if Jim had approached it and just being like, look, this is really hurting Pam's feelings, I don't think that that would have convinced Michael enough. He would have been like, oh, that's why it's funny. And, you know, he would have just brushed that off. But because Jim very geniusly manipulated Michael into twisting it around, we see Michael's wheels turning, and that he thinks that, yeah, it might not be the best for his comedy routine to continue the joke. So bravo, Jim, for being so sensitive to that for Pam. And I think that it really makes a huge difference and just highlights very beautifully in this episode how he feels about her, because he's taking her feelings into consideration and looking out for her.
Not only how he feels about her, but also just his, I think, empathy all around. It takes someone, either it takes a manipulative serial killer or it takes someone with empathy to be able to understand what someone's motivations are and play to those motivations. And I don't think that he's a manipulative serial killer.
Well, usually you do that to, you know, malicious intents, but
yes, but he knows what Michael needs and uses that. And like, you have to be aware of what someone needs in order to pull that off. And so he definitely, like, he knows how the different people in the office, what they require in order to make these things happen. And so it shows him sort of all around being a pretty aware guy.
So where are the Dundies held, Micah? Where are we going?
Well, we aren't because we're banned, but they are all going to Chili's, of course.
Which is so, I don't know. I think that that's just so funny that they're heading on to the Chili's to have the Dundee Awards. It doesn't really feel like a place that would be conducive to a large group outing with an MC and jokes and everything. And that kind of, it shows us right away, because the waitress, she trips over the power cord to the sound mixer that they're trying to use. And there's a whole bunch of other patrons around, and Michael is pitching his jokes, and you get these great little reaction shots from the other people who are in the Chili's. Like, what is happening? Imagine just like going out to dinner with whoever you're going out to dinner with at the Chili's, and this huge group is there with a big loudspeaker and microphone and like the joke that,
and the way that there are tables like right around them. It's not as if there's some separate, it's really awkward.
I think that that's what makes it so funny, is that it's not just in like a private place. They didn't hold it in the office. They didn't set up something in the warehouse. They didn't go to like a hotel ballroom or something to do this. It's in the middle of a restaurant that it's like no private room. It's just out there.
And Michael, I mean, I don't know, I think anyone in their right mind would be a little bit shy about doing all of the different things that he did, all of his little parodies and the clothes that he's wearing and all that stuff. And he really goes into it with enthusiasm. And I think if I was in that situation and I like looked around and saw, oh, we don't have our own private room, I would be a little bit nervous about pulling it off. And Michael just, you know, goes into it full gusto. And I appreciate that about him. A bit of trivia. There actually at the time was no Chili's in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so it was sort of funny from, I think I saw this on like the highlights of an episode or something like that, but people from Scranton got a kick out of like seeing a Chili's in their hometown, even though there was no actual Chili's in Scranton, PA.
Yeah. They filmed it somewhere in California, right? In,
yeah. Like, I think like Burbank.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the award show, because the show itself that Michael puts on is pretty cringy, but hilarious. And I really like how there is a genuine mix of ridiculous awards and kind of serious rewards, right? There's some that obviously Michael is trying to give everyone an award, like everyone's trying to get something. And it even goes so far as that he runs out of a certain type of statue. He has like a little businessman statue trophy that he's giving out to the majority of people. And the print shop, I guess, or the engraver that he was using ran out of the little business people statues. So some of them are bowlers. If you notice, Kevin ends up getting the, like the Don't Go In There After Me award.
Don't Go In There After Me award.
If you notice, which is of course stupid and hilarious, but, and there was a lot of jokes around that. But if you look at the statue, it's a guy squatting.
Is like, it really?
Yeah, it cracked me up. I never noticed that before. And I noticed it on this watch through. And I was like, what the heck could that have been in the first place?
Yeah,
like
what?
A person like, what was
award
the original?
Actually is that? Yeah.
Right. Because Kelly gets the arbitrary spicy curry award because she's obviously an Indian woman. And, you know, Michael is just deaf to that kind of stuff and how that would make someone feel. But I love that Kevin's is like, what could that be?
I don't know. I'm curious, because I like, is, are there trophies? There have to be trophies out there that have a person squatting on them. maybe it's like a squat competition, but they took off.
Oh,
the
maybe like a power lifter. Yeah. Or something like that. Oh my gosh. But so we also have, Stanley gets a fairly serious award, and that he is what was it?
Yeah, he got a fine work award this year. Last year he got the great work award. So he's like, I don't know what that says about this award.
And Phyllis gets the busiest beaver award, but they accidentally misspelled
bushiest beaver.
It says bushiest beaver on Phyllis's award, so that's fantastic. Angela gets the tight ass award, and she refuses to accept. And that's what I think what makes this episode really very funny, is that you see all these bizarre awards. And so as it's going on, as the show is starting, we see some of the warehouse crew is there with everybody. Of course, Roy is there with Pam, and Roy and Daryl decide that, oh, this is lame. And they decide to pick up and leave. I think that was especially when they found out that they were paying for themselves. And so they decide to leave, and they take Pam with them, but they get into this big argument in the parking lot, and they being Pam and Roy, they get in this big argument, and then Pam comes back inside to the mm-hmm. award show. And then she sits with Jim, and she proceeds to start drinking a lot, because she just had this fight with Roy over, you know, he didn't ask her if she wanted to leave. And so, again, it's very indicative of their relationship, not communicating with each other, not thinking, you know, he's not thinking of her feelings. He's just doing whatever he wants. And so then she sits down with Jim and starts pounding them back.
Yeah, majorly pounding them back. And she's taking drinks off of other people's table. And we get one of the best sort of references that I like to make, which is second drink, where yes. Pam is slurping the empty margarita or whatever, mm-hmm. and she's talking about how the ice melts and it makes a second drink. And it's so true, Pam. It does make a second drink.
I think that every time I'm at a bar now and I drink the ice water, that like if I was milking my drink a little bit too long, you know, like nursing it a little too long, and you get that watery liquid. Yeah.
Quite literally yesterday I was at a bar and had a Moscow Mule and made the second drink joke because I had gotten to the end of it and there was ice, and then I sort of waited a moment. I was like, oh, it's second drink.
Second drink.
Boy howdy, everyone who was there with me knew exactly what I was talking about. I was among my people, Tiff.
That's perfect. So a fun bit of trivia about that is that the Chili's they were filming at, it was an actual Chili's. The employees, some of the corporate, when actual corporate of Chili's, didn't like that Pam was getting drunk in the restaurant, because originally the script was written so that she would be overserved mm-hmm. and getting drunk. So Chili's didn't want to do that because it's their policy not to overserve, which then comes up later in the episode with the
sassiest manager ever.
Right. And so they rewrote it so that she started stealing drinks off of the tables.
I think that's interesting. I love that sort of, you know, trying to find out how to make that work. I think it's very clever way that they ended up working it out.
And it's realistic too, right? Because if you actually were at a Chili's, they couldn't overserve you. So if that had ended up staying in, that would have been like one of those fallacies that you're like, oh, that couldn't happen, because they right. refuse to give you like more than three drinks, or if they see you're visually intoxicated, like they wouldn't serve you again. But they got around that with Pam stealing, asking everyone, are you going to finish that? And then finishing it. So it's just great.
Oh, Pam.
So as Pam is drinking and finishing all of her second drinks, we get Michael continues to MC loudly throughout the restaurant, and he gets some hecklers.
This is really tough for me. I have this very visceral reaction when I see people who are being vulnerable, taken advantage of or hurt or, mm-hmm. or made fun of in any way. And like I could remember a situation where, sort of a distant friend of mine was dancing, just having a good time and dancing. And like, I saw somebody else making fun of them dancing, and it just wrecked me and made me so angry. And so this kind of thing, like, it really, really, really cuts to my core. And even though Michael made some poor choices with Ping and things like that, and he is, you know, not the best dude there is, he's still being vulnerable and trying to make his employees happy in the way that he does. And to see these people there who should just mind their own business, literally toss things at him and call him names and all that kind of stuff. It hurts. I hated it. I hate that moment. I hate it.
Yeah, it's some very aggressive bullying. I mean, we did just hear Michael try and rap, you know, like we hear all the things that he just went through. Just like you said, the racial stereotypes that he was doing. Like, yes, Michael is wrong most of the time. And yes, he is basically disturbing the peace of this restaurant. But it really doesn't give a right to these, you know, dude bros at the bar who start, you know, throwing things at him and heckling him, and you know, they're not a part of it. It's very aggressive bullying, and this just deflates Michael completely. And we've almost never seen things get to Michael like this. You know, he usually jokes his way out of his feelings a lot of times, and or you don't even see him being defeated. But this really, really gets to him. And just like you said, it got to you, Micah. It took the wind out of his sails. Mm-hmm. And he proceeded to give out the rest of the awards very half-heartedly, to kind of rush through the end of the Dundies to just kind of, let's just get to the meal, finish up this, and we'll yeah, just be it, quiet.
It got to a point where it embarrassed him and hurt him so much that he did not want to... I think even be there anymore, frankly.
No, his enthusiasm was just completely crushed. And he just starts giving out the awards. But so as Michael's slowly giving out the awards, Pam and Jim actually do this really kind, wonderful gesture in cheering Michael on. So he gives out Stanley's award, right? And then like they start cheering for mm-hmm. Stanley, and they're like, yeah, that's good job, more Dundies, woo! And then
they get everybody sort of joining in on cheering as well, and make Michael feel like, even if there are other people there who don't want him doing what he's doing, his employees do. It reinvigorates, revitalizes him, and makes him feel proud again. And so thank God for over-drinked Pam, because I think without her, that absolutely would not have happened.
Yeah, if she wasn't a little bit more loose with how things were going, she probably would have just, you know, faded back into her shell and just let this kind of stuff happen. But in overall, it just really does show that they all do care about each other, and they didn't want to see Michael get bullied and hurt, even as, you know, sometimes embarrassed they are of him. They didn't want him to, no one likes seeing someone feel like that. So yay, Jim and Pam, for re-encouraging and reinvigorating the award show.
It puts up, I think, a wall of protection around the group, and they feel like they're all united. And it's one of those things where you don't need to worry about all the other turkeys out there, because you've got your little group right here and we're all having a good time. And it comes time for Pam to be awarded.
You see her visually brace herself for the award that is pending to come, which she believes to be coming, which would be the longest engagement award again, because she is still engaged a year later.
And the way that Michael introduces it also leads us to believe that that's what it's going to be, because he says something along the lines of like, and I bet you can guess what this award is going to be for Pam. And so, you know, we all are sort of, oh, darn it, Michael, like, we just had this good moment, don't ruin it. And he doesn't ruin it, because, well, he doesn't ruin it, and Pam's beautiful white Keds don't ruin it, because she gets the whitest sneakers award. And this is another one of those funny awards, but it's meaningful.
And she's just so overjoyed, and she's drunk. So she's getting up there and she is just absolutely enthused. She makes a speech, an acceptance speech for her whitest sneakers award. And she thanks her sneakers. She thanks God. She thanks everyone. She hugs Michael. She is just overjoyed. And even though we know that she is acting under the influence of alcohol that lets our inhibitions down oftentimes, she is just, I don't know, I feel like we're seeing a lot of the true Pam, even though, I don't know, even though I sometimes feel like when people are drunk, it's not really their true selves. But when you're very introverted, I feel like sometimes a little bit of alcohol can push that open and you can see a little bit more of who somebody really would be if they were at their most relaxed.
Yes, I agree.
Unless you get those extroverts. Oh, man. When they're all alcoholed up, I do not think that's really who they are at all.
Yeah, like, that was the dude bros. That was the dude bros.
That goes too far. As soon as Pam finishes her acceptance speech, she goes over to Jim, who she was sitting with, and she kisses him right on the lips.
Oh, boy! What just happened?
I know. But this is one of those first kiss moments that you're like, wait, what? Because it's like, no, you're supposed to hold that out for like the season 6 payoff or whatever, exactly. You know, like, and then all of a sudden we're thrown in here on the first episode of season 2. How did you feel about this, Micah?
Okay. So the first time that I saw it, it was genuinely one of those like, hold on, let me reverse the tape because I don't know if I've just seen what I think I've seen. I need to reprocess what's happening. And when it happens, I immediately like, I can understand Pam sort of brushing off, but I had to watch it more than once because I wanted to just practically pull out a magnifying glass and watch both of their micro expressions. Like I needed to watch it one time to see how Pam reacts and one time to see how Jim reacts and how anyone else maybe in the scene reacts. And I think it's very interesting the way that Pam, like she sort of realizes that she did it. She sort of can like push it off. And I think it's sort of also just something that she wanted to do. And mm-hmm. So she feels comfortable in having done that. And Jim, on the other hand, it's like, there's like a meme where it's a person and in front of them is just like a layer of different physics equations or something like that. Just all these equations running. Jim is sort of like, I mean, he's smiley, but there's all this like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, I don't think he was expecting his first kiss with Pam to be quite like that either. But it's one of those moments where you could see that it was just so easy for her to and natural for her to do that because of their relationship together that it just, I don't know, like she didn't even think twice about it. It just happened, you know, and it wasn't like a, oh, I'm drunk and we're in this weird situation. And then you kind of awkwardly kiss it. It's just all, it was just happening. You know what I mean?
Feel the rain on your skin.
Yeah, it was just in the exuberance of the moment. She's around everybody. It wasn't like a secret forbidden act. It was just something that happened and they all kind of moved on from it. Which I think is kind of great that the way they did that in the writing of the episode, because it alleviated some tension and also added extra tension at the same time because, yeah, I don't know. I've never quite seen a romance written like this before. I mean,
yeah.
Have you?
No, I think that's very accurate because, again, there's whenever you're doing a show about a workplace and it's a comedy, of course, and there are lots of out of this world things that happen, but there is also a lot of realism in it. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you've got this cast of characters, shows that are sort of a dramedies or whatever, they focus a little bit too much maybe on one relationship. And this show, it gives everybody their chance to sort of live in the space. And so we see this relationship play out in the way that it does almost. I mean, of course it's written, but it feels almost like, a scientist putting, I don't know, two nematodes in the water and then letting them go do the things that they do. And then you check in on them later and you don't interact with them. You just sort of watch and see what happens. And that's how this feels. It's just like mm-hmm. everything plays out how it does. And that's why we get surprised at things like this. You know, the typical thing is what you said earlier, where we would see in season 6, the kiss finally happen. But no, we're going to throw this wrench into things where Pam's white shoes lead to her kissing the person that she seems to very much like, possibly love, right on the lips.
Yep. And then we see a moment right when everyone's filing out of the Dundee Awards. And we see a moment where she is about to tell Jim something. She's like, I have a question for you. And then she notices the presence of the camera and she backs off. And I've always wondered what that might have been?
What was she going to say?
Because they leave it in such a great ambiguous moment. Like sometimes when they leave those trails like that, you know exactly what the words are going to be. But the way she phrases it, I have a question for you. Like, what was she going to say? Like, we know it was probably going to be something related to the kiss or their relationship or their feelings for each other or something like that. But gosh, it just makes you keep wondering and keep wanting to watch this show, right? Like, what's the next episode?
Yes.
Like, I need
to see next. Yeah, I think that, you know, that moment is one that I still sort of think back to it. What? Because, you know, she said it was a question, and that's what sort of throws, because if she said like a statement or something, then can I tell you something?
Yeah. If can I tell you something, or I have something to tell you, you know, like there's different, but the way she says, I have a question for you. I mean, at the close of this episode, it really is, we have a little bit of awkwardness between Jim and Pam, but not really. Like, it's all good feelings. And then I even love the relationship between Michael and Dwight, and Michael saying to Dwight, like, you did a really good job on the sound, and Dwight's pride with that. Like, I feel like everyone is, from dreading this whole award show, everyone kind of came together at the end, especially because of the heckling that Michael endured, and really came together and are really supporting each other and had a really good time laughing at themselves. And I think that that's really important for building camaraderie, for building this, like, it was basically a huge team building exercise, but it happened to work, right? It just turned out working.
It was a success, and that's what makes this episode, I think, so great.
So do you want to give out our own Dundies before we head on out?
Tiff, what is the Dundee for this episode?
Well, I want to give out the Drunkiest Drunk Award to Pam for going around finishing everyone's drinks and falling off of her chair.
Falling off the stool.
Which is one of my favorite moments of with Jim and Pam just sitting there kind of recapping the Dundies.
And she's like nodding her head.
Pam's nodding and smiling as you do with that goofy face. And she just falls off her chair. And it's absolutely hilarious.
Of course, I want to thank everyone who has taken the time to go into the Apple Podcasts library and rate our show. We've seen many ratings come through and reviews, and they've brought smiles to our faces and some good ideas as well. There have been some good ideas that we're thinking about implementing in future shows. You can also follow us on Twitter at @tall_beats. We got a great mention over the weekend from one of our listeners who let us know that it was from @CJSAYCE, who let us know that we are responsible for The Office trending at the top of iTunes top series.
Heck yeah, we are. Hey!
Over there in the UK, The Office is trending, and we're going to take credit for it. So follow
Thank
us on Twitter
you.
@tall_beats, and we will see you next time. I've got to find a new restaurant to eat baby back ribs because Chili's won't have me anymore.
Nope, you're banned.
Darn. You down with the Dundee? Yeah, you know me.